Good morning. Next case on the call is Ackley versus Department of Revenue. And counsel, any questions about the process?
No, Your Honor.
Nope? Okay. For the record, then, I wanted to indicate that Chief Justice Mike Hevigan is recused, and joining the court is Judge Marsh. Thank you. Mr. Moll, you can proceed. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Tim Moll from the Rumble Ledke Law Firm. I'm appearing on behalf of the appellant, Phyllis Ackley, both individually and as personal representative of the estate of Dwayne Ackley, deceased. This case is a determination of whether Ackleys were residents of Nebraska for the taxable years 2010, 11, 12, 13, and 14. The taxpayers filed as non-residents, and that filing status was challenged by the Department of Revenue. Under the Nebraska statute 77-2714.01, the taxpayer is subject to Nebraska tax if they are a resident, and you're a resident if you are domiciled in the state, or if you maintain a permanent abode in Nebraska and spend in the aggregate more than 6 months of the taxable year in Nebraska. In this case, for 2014, it is agreed that the second test is satisfied. So for 2014, the parties have agreed that the Ackleys maintained a permanent abode, they did not spend an aggregate of more than 6 months in the state. For the other years, both domicile and that second test are at issue. The district court determined that the Ackleys were domiciled in Nebraska for all of the years at issue and said as to the remaining years, 2010 through 2013, they also said that they believe they were present in Nebraska for more than an aggregate of 6 months. The district court determined. The district court did not consider the issue of penalties. They remanded that back to the department for the determination at a later date. This morning I want to focus on what I believe are some key areas in the district court's analysis and the department's approach to this case. You'll note that the district court did not really address at all the fact that each year is a separate year. There's nothing in the district court's opinion that takes into account the fact that the domicile factors in 2010 are a lot different than what was going on in 2014. By 2014, the Ackleys had retired or resigned from almost all of their positions that they had served previously on in boards in Nebraska and elsewhere, and were just moving further into retirement. They didn't have as much activity. That was the point of moving to Florida, was to have less activity. But the district court did not go into that. They just kind of lumped everything together and said, for 2010 through 2014, here's the answer, and did not address what happened separately.
Was that an error?
I believe so.
To differentiate between amongst the years?
In terms of, there's really nothing in the district court's opinion that says what competent evidence is there to support this in 2014, because we don't know what year things apply to. So in terms of, is it supported by competent evidence? Yes, I believe it's there. Probably the more important errors, as we talk about domicile, is the fact that the district court got on this line of abandonment, and there is some abandonment language in cases, and the department has certainly used that to say, in order to change your domicile, not only do you have to do those things you do by choice, but you have to abandon everything in Nebraska. That's a misunderstanding of the law. Even in the department's own regulation, the regulation says, it talks about domicile terminates when you abandon an intent of returning. Doesn't mean you have to abandon everything that's in Nebraska. It means you have to abandon the intent of returning. Abandonment really ties into that idea of choice. The cases say that you have a domicile by origin, and that's replaced with a domicile by choice. How do you choose that? You choose that by doing a number of things, the most important of which is things with the department tried to say, well, that's just ministerial. Nebraska courts have said that's most important. You register to vote. You do other things that require an oath. In this case, the Ackleys registered to vote in Florida. They obtained a homestead exemption in Florida. When Dwayne Ackley died in 2016, Phyllis Ackley, under oath, submitted a petition for an inheritance tax that said, my husband was a resident of Florida. All of those things are given some extra importance under Nebraska law. Not the only factors, but get extra importance. The district court basically cited those, but then never came back to it, never said how do these factors work together. As you look at the district court's opinion, it says there were six factors that the judge looked at: voting, driver's license record, personal belongings, mailing address, bank accounts, and time spent in the two. The judge said right off, well, location of personal belongings, I'm not giving it any weight either way because there's not enough evidence. And then as to the others, the mailing address turned into a discussion of investments in Nebraska. And so got to the judge relied on the fact that there's farmland owned here, passive investments, that that was somehow an indicator, and just got off of track and got on this abandonment track instead of focusing on those things that said it's what the taxpayer chooses on the domicile side. In the Houghton case, the court kind of affirmed that. In the Houghton case, this court said that the taxpayers did not change their domicile to the United Kingdom, and a major reason for that was because they signed an application for a special gains exemption and signed a document under oath saying we're residents of Nebraska at the time when they said they were in the UK. Time spent in the jurisdictions, which was focused on a lot by the district court, is not a factor that the Houghton court looked at all. In fact, time spent went the other way. The facts were that only 40 days or so were spent in Nebraska with all the rest of the time spent in the United Kingdom. Despite that, they were determined to be residents of Nebraska based on the oath that they took. The district court ignored how much involvement changed again in 2014 in valuing domicile. And flat out ignored the Roden case out of the Lancaster court. Again, this is a Lancaster County District Court issuing an opinion that ignores a similar issue on very similar facts. As you walk through the Roden case, as was set forth in our brief, the factors line up almost exactly with what's going on here, and the few factors that don't probably factor in favor of our taxpayers here.
You are not suggesting, are you, that the Roden decision was in any way binding precedent on this particular case?
It is certainly not binding on this court by any means.
No, I'm talking about the district court. You're not suggesting that the district court judge in this case was bound by the decision in the Roden case?
I don't know that certainly wouldn't be bound by it, but the Roden case certainly set out a roadmap of how to apply the factors, which would be the legal part of this. And the fact that the court did not follow any of that analysis, kind of ignored the case altogether, I think, I don't know that say it's binding precedent, but it seems unusual to me that the court wouldn't have even referred to the case that was just from a year ago with very similar facts that was raised by the parties.
If it wasn't persuaded by the case? I mean, that's at most, the most you can argue about that, isn't it, that it should have been persuasive?
I would say that it's the Lancaster County District Court. We've got a district court opinion that sets out the way to approach these, and this court didn't follow that at all. So I guess I would disagree with the court. I think there is some binding nature to it. Obviously, these are all fact-intensive cases, so to say that that one foreclosed the other, I don't think you can go there.
So you think one district court decision can be binding upon another district court?
In an area of first impression, I would think the same district court should have some weight in how the court interprets it. For the benefit of all of us practicing, to say that there's some consistency there. Obviously, this court will set that precedent and determine the consistency.
Thank you.
The other factor would be domicile, would be dealing with caddy account days. This does not apply to 2014. For all the other years, if you determine there is not domicile in Nebraska, you have to consider how many days they were in Nebraska. We don't think using days is the appropriate way to do that. We believe that the statute refers to months, and so counting days does not make sense. Counting days leads to absurd results, as is set forth in our brief, and the fact that they are trying to hide behind all the deference that the department is supposed to receive, that ends up being a red herring because this is just guidance. It is guidance issued by the department, which is not entitled to deference, and the guidance wasn't even issued until after the audit period was closed. So there was no guidance for the taxpayers to rely upon. It was only guidance. It's not a regulation. I'll reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Mr. Bartel, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. There are two tests to determine if one is subject to Nebraska income tax as a resident individual. As counsel mentioned, the first is whether one is domiciled in Nebraska, and the second is whether one maintains a permanent place of abode in Nebraska and spends more than 6 months in Nebraska. The district court found the Ackleys were domiciled in Nebraska for all tax years 2010 through 2014, and it also found that they were Nebraska residents under the second test for the years 2010 through 2013. Obviously, if the court agrees that they were residents under the first test for all tax years, it need not address the secondary issue. The court's recent decision in Houghton versus Department of Revenue drives the outcome in this case. In Houghton, the court recognized that the same domicile factors used in other cases apply in income tax cases. The court also confirmed that taxpayers have the burden to prove the intent to abandon Nebraska as their domicile and to remain indefinitely in the new location. And importantly, the court recognized that intent is a question of fact, and that under the applicable standard of review, a district court's factual findings on that question will be sustained if supported by competent evidence.
I think opposing counsel is saying not all facts are created equally or equal, in that things that are done under oath perhaps are more weighty or more influential with respect to intent to abandon. Do you agree with that?
Not necessarily, Your Honor, because I think, especially in the income tax context, I know the court said the same factors apply, but if you look at other jurisdictions that have a body of law dealing with these type of residency for income tax purposes cases, you'll see kind of a commonality, and you will see things like a residence, a driver's license, voting, a bank account, registering vehicles. Those are common to almost every one of those cases. And those are the kind of things, again, like especially with voting, for example, where there is an oath attached. But those cases say you have to look at the actual conduct of the parties beyond those. You know, maybe it's a little bit too much to call them ministerial acts, but that's kind of the low-hanging fruit when you're talking about residency in the tax context. What do the parties actually do? What's really indicative of their true intent? And that's why in this case, apart from the obvious things the court mentioned, like the 775 application, the official mailing addresses for tax statements, and the maintaining a residence here in Nebraska and registering some vehicles, you have this how much time is spent in each jurisdiction. And that's really critical, because here it's quite clear that the Ackley spent considerably more time in Nebraska than in Florida by a large percentage. If you look for 2010 through 2013, they were in Nebraska 51 and 53% of the time, yet in Florida they were there 25 to 35% of the time. For 2014, it was slightly lower in Nebraska, 49% versus 34% in Florida. And while not specifically mentioned in the district court's order, if you look at the records, it shows that the time spent in Florida was primarily between January and April of each year. Now that suggests a temporary winter home for far more time was spent in Nebraska during the remainder of the year, and of course when they were not traveling in other places. So again, the district court considered all those factors, weighted all those factors, and concluded they hadn't met their burden to prove an intent to abandon their Nebraska domicile.
Does it matter under the statute if days are counted as distinguished from months? Even regardless of this issue of how many minutes equals a day, is the unit?
It matters to the second aspect, you know, the six-month calculation for purposes of the second test under the statute. I don't think that's a factor under the domicile statute.
Okay.
It's not a months or days question. It's just time spent is a factor to be considered. So not all factors are the same. In the totality of circumstances, you have to look at what really shows the true intent. What are the objective facts? And some of the other facts that they rely on, we don't think have as much weight or should be given as much weight, especially as time spent. And again, this is a factual determination by the district court. The standard of review is critical here. This court doesn't reweigh the evidence and look at these factors and say, well, I might have come to a different conclusion if I had those facts in front of me. I'll readily concede the district court could have made a different decision, kind of like Roden. Roden, the court looked at the facts and said, well, based upon the factors, I'm going to find an intent to establish a Florida domicile. But again, the standard of review here dictates the outcome. The court here, there is evidence to support the district court's finding, and the court doesn't reweigh the evidence on the finding of domicile. On the second test, The primary concern raised by the appellants is that the department uses 183 days and doesn't strictly say 6 months in determining whether that test is met. The district court agreed that that was a reasonable construction because, again, months are comprised of days, and if you look at how it's calculated, it's basically the number of days in an average month times six. So it's a measure that's used by many jurisdictions. There is no support, in contrast, to the Ackley's claim that some kind of a fractional month calculation can be made, and you have to kind of separate how many hours in a particular day was someone present in the state. That gets into the secondary aspect of any time spent in the state during the day counts as a day. That's, again, the rule in most jurisdictions. Now, that, of course, only applies if you get to the second statutory test, which we don't think you need to because the evidence clearly supports the district court's finding that the Ackleys were domiciled for all years under the first test in the statute, and you need not address the second test. Unless the court has further questions, we would ask that the court affirm the district court's decision.
How do you respond to your opponent's argument that the Roden decision was somehow binding upon the district court in this case?
It was not binding. At best, you could look at it for its persuasive value. And again, it's based on different facts. We explain in our brief there are certainly distinguishing facts in Roden that could lead the court in that case to say there had been a change of domicile. Mr. Roden did spend more time in Florida than Nebraska, albeit not by a large margin. And he testified at length about his reorienting his life to Florida. We don't have that evidence here. So again, the legal standards, I think, were followed in both Roden and this case by the district court. It's just a question of how the court weighed the facts and determined the intent to establish a new domicile. And in this case, there is record evidence to support that decision.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does Mr. Moll have time left, please?
Yes, Your Honor. 1:19.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would just want to cover a couple points. One, you didn't hear anything from counsel that talks about domicile being a choice. Domicile is a choice, and you exercise that choice by doing those things that require oaths and those types of significant changes. Changing where he would vote was a very significant thing for Mr. Ackley, who was very active in politics. Second, you heard a lot of focus on time spent. There is not case law support to say that time spent is a significant factor. That's why there's the second test. When you get past domicile, you look past permanent abode and number of days, you get that second test. It is not a factor in domicile. It was mentioned in Roden. There's about a two-sentence mention of it in State versus Jones. That's the entire body of law that deals with time spent as a factor in domicile. For all of those reasons, we would respectfully request that the district court order be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes oral arguments for the day. Thank you. You're excused.